major news around Algorand. In fact, two major pieces of news we're going to be covering today on today's Frugal BC live stream. Welcome, everybody. It's I promise you, I am not being hyperbolic about this. Algorand Foundation announced a huge amount of layoffs, and then the next day announces a merger with Algorand Technology, Foundation and Technology, all in one house. We're going to cover that today on the Frugal BC live stream. Welcome, everyone. Hoping everyone's having a good Friday out there. Yes, we are now starting at 11 versus 10:30. Going to move that back a little bit. Couldn't not cover this news today. It's just too huge. Yeah, we got some Polygon news too. We're going to get some new Polygon news. And the last time I did Polygon, the levels were so out of whack, and I can't really figure out why. I had one person complain about the volume, so I turned up the gain, and that just screwed everything up. So you know what? If anyone complains about the volume from now, I'm just going to tell you to turn it up on your TV or your phone or whatever you're listening to, okay? Because that's just the way it's going to be. The Algorand news, I'm really excited to get to this news. It's something I think a lot of, both of them, I think, are things that people have been asking for a long time and hoping would happen. And we're going to dive into what those two things are. You know, I think a lot of people thought the Algorand Foundation was overstaffed. I have to say, based on my interactions, I think it's kind of true. And then also this merger with Algorand Technologies, like I can never really figure out why there was a technologies and there was a foundation when foundations seem to be doing a lot of the technical stuff too. So I think the merger makes a ton of sense. Well, John in our interview talked, I think it was in our interview. I hope it was, I hope I'm not speaking out of turn, but I'll say that there was a lot of difficulties. I had another engineer talk about it too. There's a lot of difficulties when you want to make changes to the platform and you have to coordinate with this other entity that doesn't owe you anything, that has no, they can kind of do what they want. It just didn't make a lot of sense. Green Blue says, howdy. And he says, next Silvio will be announced as CTO. Well, that I don't think is going to happen. I can't see Silvio coming back as an underling role to the blockchain that he basically invented, but you know, who knows? The crazier things have happened, I suppose. Yeah, we'll get into all that. I got some Polygon news. We're going to redo that plus some new stuff. I don't know if I have enough for Chainlink. We'll look at, maybe we'll just kind of talk about some stuff and not really make a full segment out of it. But this is like absolutely, this is the big news. I mean, it just is, you know, something I think people wanted to have happen for a long time. So if you're watching now, please hit the like button. Now remember, you don't have to smash it. You can just press it ever so gently and it works just fine that way too. Really helps the channel grow, helps our live stream get out to more people. And I think it's going to be fun. So, and I'm even a little late for my 11 a.m. one. I started prepping for the show at 22. And when I mean prepping, I mean just getting the thumbnail and titles and stuff, which should not take that long. But I've been starting to use Gemini for my thumbnails. And I used my own today because it was totally petering out on me, and it's really annoying. Gemini's got a long ways to go. I've been having really good luck with ChatGPT. I started using Gems, where you can, and I didn't know exactly what it was, but it's basically you can create kind of an app for yourself. So I thought that might be a way to like have all of my previous inputs included from time to time, from iteration to iteration. And it made a decent looking thumbnail. So it built an app and used all my specifications and made a decent looking thumbnail, except it was an HTML format, which does me no good. Like if I asked for a YouTube thumbnail, why would you make an HTML? Like I need a JPEG or a PNG that I can upload. So I told it, hey, you got to do this instead. And then it was still rebuilding the app and then eventually I'm just like, I just got to, then I tried to have Gemini make one quick, and then it just wouldn't, it would start thinking and it would just stop. Like, okay. So yeah, AI, not really there yet. But sometimes it is. And You know, I use it for my titles and descriptions just because it's going to make them better than me. I make the videos myself. And like when I write my blog post, which I had one today, a newsletter came out today. You can check it out at frugalbc.beehive.com. You can check that out and see what I write. I do twice a week, Tuesdays and Fridays. We talked a little bit about this very issue, which I might get into. Gary on Algo says, good to see you, gentlemen. Hope all is well here. Thanks for being in the chat. I appreciate that. And by the way, if you're new here, and I know some of the people in the chat obviously been here a while, but if you're new, hit the like button and subscribe to the channel so you can see all our videos. We go live twice a week, Tuesdays and Fridays, now 11 a.m. And I think I have to update some descriptions too, which I've been lazy about. But we'll get to that. Well, enough of my jibber-jabbing. Just one other thing I want to add is that you can also get this as a podcast. Just search Frugal BC on your favorite podcast app, and you can find it wherever you get your podcasts and listen on the go. That's really fun. I just checked. Yeah, it's getting up there. I wish YouTube would process their videos a little faster, because then it would allow me to get the podcast out faster. It actually allowed me to do a lot of things ahead of time. Technology is always kind of frustrating. It's helpful, but it's also like the roadblock sometimes. So, so that's all I want to say. Big shout out to our sponsor, Haystack. And actually, I'm going to share another sponsor story. There's this crypto accounting firm in California. They reached out, and you know, I did a little sleuthing to make sure it was legit. It seemed to be. I found another bigger YouTube channel that was promoting them. So I'm like, okay, that sounds good. They had a third party ambassador program, and they sent me this link, and I clicked the link, and it's not going anywhere. I'm supposed to like log in with a password and stuff like that. So I reach out to the guy, say, hey, this didn't work. So I don't know what's going on. But big shout out to Haystack. They're a real one. And, start trading with them today. I'll have a link later on. Anyway, let's get to the coins. Let's get to the markets, because Bitcoin, when I first pulled up this tab, it was under 70. Now it's back over 70. Ethereum over 2,100, which is nice. Was at 2,300 at one point. I think did Bitcoin get to like 75, 76, I think, for a while there. Looks like it. XRP at $1.43. Solana's getting close to 90 again. Tron at 30 cents. Dogecoin at almost 10 cents. Hyperliquid at 40, under 40. I think Hyperliquid's going to end up being a good buy. I do. Let's see what's doing well on the 24-hour. And that belongs to BitTensor again. It's been doing well. Kite, Artificial Superintelligence Alliance, Shiba Inu. First one, not under 10% up. Quant at 7%. Aptos, 7%. EtherFi at 6%. Pi up there at 5%. And Polygon, a nice almost 5% run. We're going to have some Polygon news later today. And then Render, $1.71, 4.6. Got Pudgy Penguins falling up. And look at Tezos. Look at Tezos, blast from the past. One of the first tokens I owned for staking purposes. Back in the old days. In fact, I actually traded all my Tezos to buy Algorand, because Algorand was offering higher staking. Shows how little I knew. Mike Schultz says, thank you for all the valuable info with Algorand and HBAR assets. Well, you're welcome, Mike. Appreciate that. And let's go to the 7-day here. DEX with an E, that is up 38%, followed by Artificial Superintelligence, then Quant. 22, Caspa. I got some Caspa fans that pop in here every once in a while. BitTensor, 18%. River, just under 18%. Jeez. Sorry, some crashing around going in my house right now. I'm not sure what's up with that. Just, I have not heard of this one. Brand new, 13.75%. MemeCore at just under 14%. Conflux at 12%. And Zcash at 11%. And then another new one, and it even says new, Sun. I have not heard of Sun. It is up 10%, apparently in the top 100 right now. That's what I'm saying. These coins like kind of come and go. I'm just going to make sure nothing in my house is falling apart. Wycat's in there saying hello to you and your kitty that passed through the shot. Volume is great, by the way. Appreciate that. Appreciate that, Wycat's. My most attractive listener by far, or viewer. I'm just going to go see what that crash was. I will be right back. And I'm back. Greenblue says, why do you think SEC and CFT made Algo a footnote in the statement? I don't know. We'll talk about that when our stuff comes up. Dava says, big move for Algorand. Bringing development and ecosystem under one roof is exactly how you accelerate real adoption, stronger alignment, faster innovation, and a clear path to financial empowerment. Yeah, we're going to talk about that. I'm not going to say anything right now because we got a big segment coming up. All right. Losers on the daily. We got River. We got MemeCore, Caspa. Actually, Caspa on the top 10 for weekly gainers, but top 10 for daily losers. That's crazy. Stable is down. Cosmos down. XDCO. Where's Bobby Jonas? Where's our buddy Bobby Jonas? Not going to be happy about XDC being down. He's a big fan. He used to come in here and say, you know, XDC is the real Ethereum killer. And he'd be like, talking about Algorand, talking crap about Algorand. It's kind of funny. Let's see, WorldCoin down a little bit. Canton down. Actually, Canton has been crushing it. So that's a pullback. That's an opportunity, I think. Aave down a little bit. Well, that's not really a surprise. Aave, we covered that, how someone tried to trade 50 million on Aave and ended up with 35,000 because they ignored the slippage warnings. I think probably they should have just not let it happen, but apparently they're putting those protections in place now. And Layer Zero down, but not a lot today. So it's kind of a green day. Market cap in the 2.4 range, so a little under the 2.5 it had been not that long ago. Coin market cap 20, up almost a full percent. And Fear and Greed actually popped down back into fear a little bit, but still at 30, which is a lot different than it was before. I mean, that's a pretty big difference. So was at 5 at one point. I mean, it had been so ridiculously low. Altcoin season index kind of sitting halfway between Bitcoin and altcoins, kind of in no man land territory, and then oversold, overbought, not really either. Relative strength index just kind of holding steady. So that's that. Let's go to our Algorand news. I can see it's going to take people a while to get used to the new time. We're not having the audiences we had before, but you know what? That is okay. Because we're all here. We're all going to have fun. Let's see. Now, they have the 30-day, and I try not to pay too much attention unless I see something pretty major on that chart, but Algorand itself, under 9 cents. Now, I don't know if, I tend to think that doesn't have much on the news. Mike Schultz asking about Jasmine. Maybe we can look at that later in a second. T-Algo governance, ignoring some of these. See, I would expect Algorand to be up more than 9 cents. I mean, I think overall, the layoffs are good news because it means they're going to reduce their burn rate. You know, and I feel bad for the people who lost their job. Well, I'm giving away the juice. Let's wait for the segment here. Haystack up 7% on the week. That's something. Folks Finance dropping to under a dollar. That's not great for folks. Let's see. That's a big drop. Some people were calling that. I guess they were right. Just seeing if anything else is interesting. Meld Gold is up 7%. So yay for me. That's down here. Sorry, you can't see it. But down on the week. So I guess it kind of neither here nor there. Just looking at the top here, something called GMT is up 27%. Money, I know that's I know the guy that's creating it. It's another guy that's related to Akita Inu. Nova is up 12%. We talked about silver and gold. Vestige 7%. Gunna up 7%. and Pigold 4%. So not a ton to talk about, honestly. Nothing too exciting. DonkeyDAO up 37% in the 30-day, I guess. Pheasant Pluckers up 54% on the monthly chart, but like I said, we don't pay too much attention to those. Let's get over to Sauce. I'm guessing we're going to do Hedera assets. I'm guessing it's going to look pretty much the same, but we'll see. Yeah, HBAR is up almost 1%, sitting at a little over 9 cents. And what's continued to amaze me is how much HBAR has outpaced Algorand in terms of price. And I know, you know, when we talk about prices, you always have to think about them in a relative sense. Lower supply coins tend to have higher prices just because there's fewer of them to begin with. But it's really the percentages that matter. But in this case, it's kind of odd because HBAR has 50 billion total supply. With, 43 is out now, I believe. And then Algorand is only 10 billion. So you would expect Algorand to have a higher price overall because of a lower supply. And yet HBAR, you know, even now sitting close to a 2x from my low. I have no idea what my Algorand is but it's pretty close to an all-time low. That's the difference. You know, it doesn't make sense always, but it is what it is. And otherwise, looks like everything is about 1% up. Maybe a percent down. Gib is up 4.3%, so that's kind of bucking the trend a little bit. I'm ignoring the ones that are derivatives. Synthetics, I guess you would say. Like Quant, I mean, that's the price of Quant, right? So we already kind of covered that. Let's see. Yeah, otherwise we're getting right around 1%. Oh, here, HSuite is up 3.5%. MFN, 2%. Ooh, we got a 4%er here with Jam. Oh, GC is up 48%. That's crazy. By the way, if you own GC, you should be taking some profits right now. That's a big pump up. And these are volatile, you know. This is not Bitcoin where you're going to hold on to it forever. Suit is about 3%. Let's see, that's BNB, so. And our little friend Stickbug is up 0.5%, followed by VAC at about 1%. Stickbug liquidity, $602. I think you could like easily move the price. I think if you bought like $1,000 of this, you would jack the price up. But you probably wouldn't have the liquidity to sell it. Anyway, that is the Hedera token. Mike wants me to look at Jasmine. So, you know what, before we get to the Algorand news, we'll just take a quick look at Jasmine. I'll tell you what, I don't know anything about it personally. The only thing I know is there are way too many cryptocurrencies. I'm going to start getting rid of some of them. Everyday Algonaut in the chat saying, GM, what is up? I am sure that you will have things to say when we get to the... Is it this one? Maybe I'll just type it in. Oh, here we go. Market cap 113, so not too far out. Down a little bit on the day. See, max supply of 50 billion, just like in mass majority of it circulating, down 3% on the week. Let's see what the about says. Cryptocurrency project of a Tokyo-based Internet of Things provider, the Jasmine Corporation. As a system, the Internet of Things includes mechanical and digital elements endowed with an identifier and ability to transmit data. By the way, I hate Internet of Things. I don't want smart devices. I don't want my refrigerator doesn't have to go on the internet. My dryer doesn't need to post on Reddit. I just want them to do the things they do. I don't even have a smart, like they were going to give me a smart thermostat. I'm like, nope, just give me the normal one. I'm not into it. Like the dumber my devices can be, except for the actual stuff that I want, like my phone, dumb, make it dumb as can be. Just do the thing and, you know, take off. Someone here, Brink Paul, saying Jasmine is a dead coin, just dead. If 80% of all coins disappear, can Jasmine, well, you can't see it. It's on the right here. Mission of Jasmine developers is to create an environment by shaping an infrastructure where users can easily, safely, smoothly use data. Cool. Why do you need a token for that? Yeah, I'm going to be honest. I just think sometimes this stuff, I don't know that this token needs to exist. That's just my thoughts. I don't know. I'm not thrilled. But I do want to make a point. I do want to make a point because people say this on Algorand all the time. They're like, oh, well, you know, the supply is almost kind of a scam. Someone calling it a scam here. I don't know. It's probably not a scam. We just don't need a cryptocurrency for everything, in my opinion. Maybe that makes me a bad crypto influencer, but Green Blue says, I would have expected the 18 commodities to have received more volume flowing in. Yeah, it just doesn't happen. It doesn't happen because retail's not here. You know, retail's not here, and the prices moving based on news, that pretty much ended with the last bull cycle in 2021. I don't think it does that anymore. But anyway, the point I was going to make, Everyday says, but it's good to launch the vacuum cleaner remotely before you go home or run the air conditioner before you come home. Well, I don't leave. I work from home, so I don't have to worry about that. Trust me, my girlfriend's on the other side of this. She's got all the smart stuff. Me, I'm like, nope. And I'm keeping it as dumb as possible. Because someday they're going to take over. That's the thing. Anyway, I know I'm getting into like crazy land here. Here's the thing I was going to make, though. The point I was going to make is everybody in Algorand's like, oh, well, once all the supply is released, then, you know, the price is going to skyrocket. It's like, not really. Because look, this is the case in Jasmine. Do you see what's the 1 year? Flat. Oh, 1 month, sorry. 1 month flat. 1 year way down. Yeah, there's the all-time chart. There is the all-time chart. 16 cents here, five, down to half of cent. It was point, oh, I'm sorry. I was maybe, let's see, I got up to like 21 cents. And that was, when was that? That was 2021. That was our last bull run. Got up a little bit here to almost 4 cents. I mean, you could hope it, you know, this is one of the ones where you could like make a bet and hope it takes off at some point. You know what's funny too? 86% bullish. You know, Algorand will look like that too. And like, what reason do you have to be bullish on Algorand? I mean, you know, maybe it'll turn around, but the price action has been horrible. I've been saying that all along. Algorand's main thing is that it's actually easy to use. It's if you go on a dApp, it actually works. Mike says a smart house can lock you out, so I've heard in the recent past. Yeah. Yeah, well, what happens if someone else gets a hold of it and they can shut you out of your house or they can cause problems? I'm just not into it. All right, let's get to those Algorand news. I can't wait anymore. I'm just too, sorry, I hit the mic. I'm too excited. Let us get after it. Wait, did I not save it? Okay, hold on. Open the door, Hal, says Yeah, see, my young people, they have not seen enough. They haven't seen enough sci-fi. So they're like, they don't even think of the downsides. I can't believe I didn't bookmark that. But I know I talked about it, so how come I... Oh, here it is. Wait, I did bookmark it. What the... Hold on. Maybe I didn't bookmark it in the right place. That happens. Sorry, I'm sure this is really entertaining, right? All right. Now, it should be in the right spot. Okay, you guys ready? Let me get a drink of water. Algorand made two major announcements, and whether they're bullish or bearish, I think there's some divergence, but one thing is for sure, this is major news that I think took a lot of people by surprise, and they're both things that I think people were kind of calling for. And the very first item here is from directly from the Algorand Foundation. This was on the 18th, so this was later on Wednesday. Today, the Algorand Foundation made the difficult decision to reduce our workforce by 25%. That's a lot. That's a quarter. That's a lot of people. The decision was not made lightly and is in response to uncertain global macro environment, as well as the broader downturn in crypto markets. These employees have been best-in-class contributors to this ecosystem and to the foundation. And this was an incredibly tough decision. We are sincerely grateful to them. We are, of course, committed to supporting them through this transition. We believe that a more sustainable alignment of Algorand Foundation resources, with the protocol's long-term business, technology, and ecosystem priorities, we remain fully focused on our mission of financial empowerment and continued development and growth of the Algorand protocol, network, and ecosystem. So this got a lot of traction, a lot of surprise, a lot of big names in media picked this up, by the way. It wasn't just us. KNG says, we're finally doing it. We're cutting costs. I sense a total of 69% reduction. I don't know what that means. Ghana.algo says, well made. Why not 50%? Asking for a friend. Tough decision to make, says Chainspect. Hoping it doesn't slow down the tech progress of the ecosystem. Oh, we are halfway there. Oh, living on a prayer. We got a little heart from Sarah Jane at the foundation. And so we don't really know. Here's some things we don't know. We don't know who was let go. I plan to do a little bit of tracking once the Algorand Foundation page is updated. We can figure out exactly what happened there. But 25% cut in workforce, that's huge. Now, I'm going to tell you, a lot of people said that this should have happened a long time ago, that the Algorand Foundation was kind of bloated. I think a lot of it has to do with mission creep and just, I don't think a blockchain these days can survive by trying to be everything to everybody. You know, you look at Chainlink, they really carved out a niche for themselves. They said, we're going to be the Oracle network. We're going to provide the services to both to crypto companies and to just traditional financial institutions that need trusted oracles. They need trusted data feeds. Chainlink provides that. And like, that's what they're doing. They're not trying to do all this other stuff. They're not trying to expand the 400 million countries and try to grow projects from the ground up. I think that would be smart. It would be smart of the foundation to find a really specific thing and focus on it. I think that's what the cryptocurrencies that are the technology projects that are going to win are going to do that. But I think so. They kind of hinted at this, but they didn't really say anything because then yesterday we got this banger. The Algorand protocol development and ecosystem growth are now under one roof. Algorand Foundation and Algorand Technologies have come to a strategic agreement to unify ecosystem operations. And it is about time, by the way. It is absolutely about time because I could never figure out why there was a foundation and a technologies because the foundation had all these things they were doing. They were doing all these technological stuff. So I'm like, well, what is Algorand Technologies doing? I never got a really clear answer on that. I would have understood if like the foundation is like, hey, let's do the, you know, building partnerships and let's do the, you know, the growing ecosystems while the technologies is actually focused on the chain and the protocol. But Algorand Foundation engineers were doing that too. So like, I really never understood. And from what I have been told by people who worked on the blockchain, there was a major roadblock because every time a foundation engineer would want to do something, they'd have to go through all these approvals through technologies, and it really just slowed everything down. So this makes sense. You know, we just talked last week about what would a foundationless coin project blockchain look like? Because isn't that the point? At some point, it just runs on its own, right? And that doesn't seem to be how it works in practice. So I think this is kind of a you know, a move toward that. So it says this agreement creates a unified powerhouse for blockchain innovation here in the United States and positions Algorand as the chain that enables financial empowerment at scale, which seems to be the unifying force, I guess. Every day, Algonaut says they cut the 25% employees and merged with AlgoTech. I wonder if they have now more costs than before. Yes, but presumably whatever they also have, whatever, you know, I'm thinking of the burn rate as a whole. So like Algorand Technologies must have had its own funding source. I imagine they pared down too, but we have no idea because we never hear from Technologies ever. Everyday says it was split because the Algorand Tech was owned by Silvio and Algorand Foundation is owned by question mark. So this means that Silvio stepped down from the Algorand, if I read it correctly. Well, I think he did a long time ago. I mean, it probably was like my sense is it was probably the technological side was supposed to handle, you know, the blockchain protocol upgrades, and the foundation was supposed to handle like more of the front facing stuff, I guess. But they were kind of doing everything. So I don't know. Anyway, I just think it makes total sense to merge this. And I think that's probably why they cut workforce, because they had a lot of duplication. So presumably all the resources of technology are now under the foundation roof, but fewer employees, so it should lead to more efficient operation. I haven't seen anybody that thought this was a bad thing. I have yet to see it. Now, I totally empathize with the people who lost their jobs, because, hey, you know, that sucks. It always sucks. And it doesn't mean it's the wrong thing. Just because it's hard doesn't mean it's the wrong thing. Green Blue says, I'm also thinking of the $50 million that Stacey got her own meme code for doing. I'm not sure what that means. I know some people still want to see leadership change, and, you know, we'll see. We'll definitely see what happens there. But I, you know, now some people are saying this is like what will spark Algorand into the future and whatever. I don't know about that, but I think it, you know, here's the reality. The foundation was about to face some really tough choices because their burn rate was not matching their spend. Their burn rate was not matching their revenue coming in. And you just can't do that. And eventually you're just going to run out of money. And that's what they were facing. You know, they were talking about uncapping supply. That's been the rumor. And it's being considered, I'll tell you that. My sources inside tell me it is not off the table. You know, we're still waiting for Project King Safety, which is supposed to clarify the next steps on this. So reducing burn rate, I'm on, like, you definitely got to do that. You got to spend within your means. I will tell you, you know, I contracted to make some videos with the Algorand Foundation, and I met with like three different people, all who were like giving me things to do, and none of who seemed to be on the same page, and none of them were helping. Like I met with one of them was a video editor. I'm like, well, why don't I just send you the raw video and you edit it? Like, then you can edit it the way you want instead of you telling me how to edit it. I don't need a video editor to tell someone how to video edit. You just say this is what the requirements are. And I met with a whole brand person and I'm like, okay, just give me the stuff you want me to use. Like, it just seemed like they had a lot of time on their hands. Do you know what I mean? No one seemed very pressed for time. And I think it was people like kind of trying to justify their jobs, I felt. So yeah, I think this is a very, I think this is a good development. I think there's probably some people that were dead weight, to be honest. Stacey stated on Twitter that uncapping the market cap will require the consensus upgrade and 90% of stakers to vote for it. Yeah, well, I mean, it doesn't mean it's going to go through. I think it would be a death knell, by the way. I think they want to do everything possible to avoid that, because I just don't think people are going to go for it. I've heard for some people in the space that say it could work technically, but that doesn't mean people will go for it. I don't think they will, personally. All right. We got more news though. That's the big news for sure. Here we got something from Para Joint Accounts, Para Wallet, saying Para Joint Accounts will come with the power of weighted signatures. Here's what it actually means. You want to be the one who signs every transaction, but still have real backup wallets in case your main one is ever unavailable. No problem. Just set up a 2-4 multi-sig and give your main wallet weight 2. The two backup wallets each get weight 1. You sign alone whenever you want. The backups come in only when you need them. Boom, done. I mean, that makes sense. So, you know, this is a way to where you can sign off on something, but you can also have two people sign off, but the two people have to both sign off on it. It's pretty interesting. Yeah, I think it's smart. Same logic for a CEO with two board seats. Give yourself weight 2. Each board member gets 1, or, you know, whatever the threshold is. Jackson Crawford saying, go Algo. Let's do it. Everyday Algonaut says, I will not vote for it if it ever happens. I think a lot of people feel that way. So basically, it's built-in governance, no extra tools required. Multi-sig finally made for humans. Dolan says, let me dumb it down for my people. You equals main character, backups, NPCs. Well, it's not really, though. You still handle things, but if you fall in a hole and can't get out, the NPCs will team up and lock the wallet. Wow, you guys are so smart. Why are you talking like this? That's so weird. Let's see what else we got. Now it's in the footnotes, but Algorand is apparently now classified as a digital commodity. Algorand and Library, by the way, mentioned in the comments. Do you remember the Library? There was a huge, huge issue with Library. They actually got sued and lost by the SEC, and it was total bull. And they're mentioned in the footnotes with the Library, but yes, these 16 cryptocurrencies are no longer considered, or I shouldn't say they were necessarily considered securities, but it was always in doubt, right? Now they flat out say, hey, these aren't securities, these are commodities. And that includes Aptos, Avalanche, Bitcoin, Bitcoin Cash, Cardano, Chainlink, Dogecoin, Ether, Hedera, Litecoin, Polkadot, Shiba Inu, Solana, Stellar, Tezos, another blast from the past, Tezos coming back again, and XRP. Also in the footnotes mentioned is Algorand and Library. So I think that's pretty interesting. That's good news for Algorand for sure, right? You know what? I think that's all I got for Algorand, but that's a pretty good helping dose of news. I mean, we'd focus a lot on this news around the foundation, both laying off people and around Algorand Technologies merging with the foundation. Which one thing I forgot to mention, I think the reason that the foundation shifted to for-profit status versus nonprofit is to much more easily facilitate this, because I don't know that you can merge a nonprofit with a for-profit entity. I know you can't sell them, and you can't sell them without converting to a for-profit. So I imagine mergers would be the same. A lot of people made like more about the nonprofit versus for-profit status. Like, you can make revenue either way, and it doesn't like automatically mean you're going to make revenue. The only difference is like no one can specific in a nonprofit. There's no one owner who profits from it. Everything stays with the organization. Now there's ways around that, because, you know, if you got a friendly board, they can give the director, you know, whatever salary they want. So you can give you a high salary. And a lot of times that's what happens. You look at these nonprofits and they'll have like huge salaries, which you should pay attention to before you donate, by the way. But did you find out who is the owner of Algorand for Profit Foundation? No, I did not. Might have to look at some filings on that. That would be interesting to see. I think that's all for Algorand today. Green Blue says, I wonder why in the footnote. So why was this also influencers could talk about the Safe 16? I mean, I don't see why the SEC would care about that, to be honest. Huh, I'm really not very bright, am I? That was a funny thing to say. I opened the curtain a little bit. Gotta love that backlighting though, huh? Whew, small audience, huh? Well, I guess we'll get through our Polygon news and then we'll call it a day. Everyday Algonaut says, I tried to search the filings, but all his private, no public documents out there. Well, that's the thing. If they're not publicly traded, it can be pretty tough to get that info. I don't know if I even want to. Maybe I'll save the Polygon segment for later. We'll do it. What the heck? Your thoughts on I'm not going to do any more random coins. That's enough for today. We're just going to get through the Polygon segment and probably call it a day. I know AJ writes crypto is big on VeChain, but he's built relationships with the VeChain people, so that's probably has a lot to do with it. Okay, we're going to do Polygon now. It was only like maybe a year ago that Polygon looked like it was just a dead project, but now it is growing leaps and bounds, making really specific moves toward payments and really narrowing its focus. And as a result, its users are growing. As of today, Polygon shows one of the cleanest growth trends out there, 42.3% new users in just 19 days. That's not even a month, guys. More users are entering the ecosystem consistently, not because of hype, because they actually want to use it. We love seeing this kind of progress. Well done, team. This is from Everstake. And that is not the only Polygon news we have, but it is nice to see that user growth. One of the things I really like about Polygon that they're doing, they decided, we talked about this recently, in fact, we'll probably show the video later, but they said flat out that we are focusing on payments. That's what we care about. And I think narrowing the focus is really smart. I think a lot of blockchains are going to have to do that. I don't think there's a lot of room for everything chains. There's going to be like two or three at the top that can be everything chains. Everything else is going to have a focus. And Polygon smartly pivoting, I think it's paying dividends. We'll see that in some of the other news. Here's one from Nazuko saying 33 million Polygon was released from the BitGo multi-sig wallet recipient HFT entity OX8A. At the same time, over 6 million Polygon were staked. Positive news for Polygon today. Franklin Templeton, managing $1.7 trillion, chose Polygon to run the first U.S.-registered government money fund on blockchain. And Apex Group, managing $3.5 trillion, partnered with Polygon Labs to launch T-Rex Ledger, a compliance-focused blockchain for institutional capital markets. Trillions of dollars are choosing Polygon as a strategic partner, yet it seems holders are still not happy as Polygon has only dropped 2% in the last month. Well, yeah, here's the thing. People are still not going to be happy if it's not going up. As someone said, Paul said here, a mere 2% drop. Polygon has been declining for months. Even as someone who values Polygon highly, I can't make sense of the current situation. A coin's value is ultimately proven by its price. Which, I mean, Polygon has been dropping a ton. It's kind of frustrating. I know I bought some a couple of years ago, and it's, I've been able to lower my dollar. I've been dollar costing averaging a little bit to lower my average entry, but it's still pretty high. And, but I think this pivot is going to make a difference. I really do. I think that's one of the reasons I'm still bullish on Polygon when I probably shouldn't be based on the price. Polygon, we're not going to dive into this one today, I think, but we wrote the practical guide for finance teams evaluating stablecoin payments. So I think that's probably a good thing for people who are companies who are interested in getting into it. You can go to Polygon's site and find that for yourself if you're interested in that. Like I said, nothing we're really going to dive into too deeply. Better fees are here. This is right from Polygon. Institutions need predictable fees. Apps plus users need stable costs. Polygon delivered both. A new fee mechanism upgrades the gas limit caps, absorbing demand spikes, meaning lower fee volatility and fewer spikes across the network. Now, this is an interesting point because there's two different ways of doing it. You know, Algorand, for example, has a fixed cost in Algorand, so it's 0.001 fee for Algorand usually. Hedera does it a little bit different. It's 0.0008 cents. Was one, now it's one, but it's actually denominated in cents versus the coin, which means it stays stable over time. So the price fluctuations won't affect that, which is pretty interesting, I think. So seems like Polygon is deciding to kind of go in that direction to stabilize the fees and make them more predictable, which is what you need to know if you're doing business. You know, it helps you calculate your cost, which is pretty important. I thought this was pretty interesting. Agent Card. Introducing Agent Card. Your agent can now buy anything. Pay for inference and APIs. Order DoorDash, Amazon, and Ubers. Run marketing. Trade Polymarket 24/7. Open to all, not just businesses. Instant, private, reusable, live today. So I've been saying for a long time that agentic commerce is the future of crypto. A lot of cryptocurrencies are preparing for this, including Algorand, Hedera, Solana. Pretty much everybody you know is working on this. Near Protocol has been on it from like day one. And here's Polygon getting in on it with Agent Card. I think that is going to be a huge part of commerce going forward. And not just for buying stuff for like, you know, stuff that we want, but like actually buying like skills or you know, paying quick little API costs or things like that. This is going to be the future. So, you know, pay attention to this. And that is by Alchemy, which is on Polygon, by the way. I talked about this last time, but since that segment didn't work, sending USDC requires Google search. Polygon Trails finds your funds, picks the route, and sends any chain, any coin, one click, free to integrate. This is really, really smart. I think there might be more about this. So we talk about chain abstraction. I think that's a really important concept in crypto, because so many people want to use crypto and then they start looking into it and it's so complex, so weird. This is like take a coin, send it anywhere, boom. Any chain, any token, one click, free to integrate. I think that's pretty amazing. And that's the kind of stuff that is going to be really important to have actual crypto adoption, because it needs to be usable. It can't be complex. The more complex it is, the fewer people are going to use it. It's just that simple. And like I said, this is a little bit old, but speaking of agentic commerce, X402 is a standard for agentic payments, for AI agentic payments. 63% of all X402 facilitator activities occurs on Polygon. That's pretty huge. So, you know, don't sleep on Polygon. You might not like it, you know, the price action might not have been great, but I think this is going to make a big difference. Then again, here's all the current the prices. It peaked in 2022 at $258. Now, leaving out that was a bull market run, and some stuff popped off in 2021, some stuff popped off in 2022. So it's not uniform across the board exactly, but it has been on quite a downward trajectory. Yeah, I think I was buying a lot right around here in 2024. Whew. Yeah, that didn't go so well. So that kind of sucks. Migration range, Polygon 2.0 happened in here, I guess. But it's been pretty low. I mean, I think buying in now might not be a bad thing. I'm not giving you financial advice, but Green Blue says GME coin just hit one. Is that trillion? Million, billion, trillion. Interesting. Jackson Crawford says, I wonder if any blockchain will take over payments as it pertains to casinos and gambling, evolution from coins to tokens to tickets. Why not wallets? That's an interesting idea. Well, I don't see why they would be different than any other payment. I mean, I could see Polygon doing that if they're focused on payments. Well, let's just watch this, and this is why they switched to, they talk here about why they switched to payments. So why don't we listen to this to cap off the show?
It speaks to definitely like a complete reframing of what Polygon Labs is doing. I think as we've had meeting after meeting and conversation about this stuff, the one consistent theme that we've seen is like, wow, we had no idea Polygon Labs is completely doing something else. So like there is like a complete reframing of what everyone thinks. Now, the same fabric and the same DNA is there, right? So it's still a decentralized company. There's still a blockchain there. It's still like, you know, trying to move the world and more money onto the chain itself and do more in this new financial ecosystem. But it's interesting to see kind of like the shift from like, we're building the trustless internet and like a new paradigm for how the world will work, which is still partially true. But combining that with...
Which is what like every blockchain ever has said. And I'm so glad that I think people are realizing that's like really unrealistic and kind of too broad, you know? It reminds me of like the VC pitches where we're changing the world. Like, no, you're not. You're making a product that people want to use. And like, it might change things a little bit. Like, you know, yeah, Uber did change one aspect of society, and that's great, but stop pretending like, oh, we're saving the world. Shut up. So yeah, I totally am on board with this.
We are regulated, and like we want to care about compliance, and we want to care about knowing who our customer is, and we want to make sure our customer's assets are safe and things like that. So it's balancing both of those, and I think that's like a great narrative and like a very interesting and fun place to be, honestly. But to give you kind of the context as to like how that happened, maybe about 12 to 18 months ago, we realized that every chain has to pick a segment, pick like an area. It's almost going to be impossible to run a general purpose chain if you're going to see a world of specialized and purpose-built chains start to come out over the next 12 to 18 months.
That's what I've been saying. You know, it's just unrealistic.
Start to see this kind of with Solana. We've already started to see this with Arbitrum, who have really dominated their individual niches, right? So Solana is like undoubtedly the home for community-based trading or meme coins or maybe even NFTs, maybe some other stuff like, again, on the community-based trading side, but they have dominated that segment and it's like not even close to comparison with any other chain. So eventually Solana is going to start responding to that community that drives so much value and build the chain out for those particular use cases and verticals. Arbitrum has really dominated the trading scene. Every chain will find its own niche. With us, we noticed all our data and all our traction was really on the payment side. We had early traction with NFTs. We definitely were like an NFT chain back in the day. I think that was a lot of brand names that came out and did a lot of like quick splashes and never really like transferred to meaningful value to.
Yeah, you remember those days with the NFT craze? And, you know, I remember Gary Vaynerchuk was like so all in on NFTs. And I haven't heard him really speak about that. You know, I think he probably lost a lot of money on those. It was kind of like the wave of the future until it wasn't. And, you know, sometimes you got to make bets on stuff. I get it. But it's the level of certainty sometimes that I hear. And I think, you don't know. You really don't know.
To users. It was definitely a hype cycle, like undoubtedly. So anyway, like we transitioned that narrative to say we are, you know, this general purpose retail chain to being this like payment specific chain. Because again, we saw a couple major things happen. Number one, we had really good enterprise distribution. So think like world famous, like large payment companies like WorldPay, Checkout.com, Stripe, etc., are already integrated on Polygon and using the Polygon ecosystem as their like rail on the blockchain side. In addition,
yeah, that's what I'm saying. They're basically skating where the puck is going. Like they've got the payments, they've got the partnerships with all these payment companies. Like, yeah, that's your niche. You found your product market fit, steer into that. Stop trying to be everything to everybody. I think that's where something like Algorand has to figure out, you know. Hedera's really cornered the enterprise market. I mean, they're actually getting people using their services. Algorand hasn't had the same success on that ground, and the things that have worked like kind of stopped working, like TravelX.
In addition to that, we had liquidity. So there's like really good liquidity and distribution.
Big problem with a lot of blockchains. They just don't have liquidity. Polygon's got it.
So that means both on DeFi and on CeFi as well. So like go to any exchange, they support Polygon. Go to any major wallet, they support Polygon. Go to any major like DeFi app, there's probably support for Polygon and there's probably really good liquidity on that app as well. Stablecoins are issued on Polygon. They have a decent amount of volume on Polygon and they have a lot of liquidity on Polygon. And those are key building blocks in order to do some of these longer term vision items like get into payments or do cross-border payments or do XYZ. Another third thing is that like the regulatory landscape really firmed up for us. Gave us the clarity that we needed to be able to build and double down in doing something very specific. And that's probably why you saw that we made about $250 million worth of acquisitions in the last couple months. just to basically build out the rest of the stack, acquire the regulatory infrastructure that's within this paradigm, this new framework that we're excited about, and then also some of the other value add features that we need in the stack.
Yeah, we covered that, by the way. And all of a sudden, they were making these huge moves. Like, it was Polygon and XRP kind of at the same time. We're making all these huge acquisitions, which is, I think, pretty interesting. I haven't really heard a lot of acquisitions on Algorand, have you? You know, not that this isn't necessarily meant to be a comparison video per se, but I just find that very interesting.
And we'll continue to do that. Actually, let's say that there's more stuff that we're cooking up in the hopper for more of a global expansion. Some new features and new product lines that we're working out, and some expansions that we're doing as well to get pretty aggressively global. But all of that's coming in like the next 6 to 12 months.
Well, there you have it. I mean, I think that says a lot. I think it explains where Polygon is headed. It's aiming to be the payment platform, and it's built a pretty good ecosystem for doing that. So I think that's pretty smart. Well, that is all for our Polygon segment. Thanks for tuning in for that today. I thought maybe we'd watch a little bit of Eleanor Terrett before we leave here, but definitely in the meantime, you guys can leave some chats while we're watching this, and let me get it pulled up here.
So scary experience from 10 years ago. I think a lot of their perceptions are shaped by, you know, a lot of outdated notions. And
it speaks to definitely like a complete.
So yeah, we can show them, you know, what sort of.
How do I do that again? Oh, that's what I want. Let me put this on.
So obviously being a consumer product, you know, we're able to communicate with them, you know, a lot easier than say a protocol company that's a little bit more niche.
By the way, I actually use Phantom Wallet. It's not a bad wallet.
So yeah, overall, super bullish on everything going on. And yeah, really, really proud to play our part in moving all this stuff forward.
Yeah, Brandon, I know one of the big aspects of the no action piece seemed to be the self-custodial nature of Phantom. Like that was a pretty big piece. And I'm sure it took some effort to get the CFTC's head around sort of the wallet architecture that you guys were using. And one of the things that maybe this opens up from my perspective, because I obviously got.
By the way, if you guys hit the like button, if you haven't, I would really love you to hit that like button. You don't have to smash it. You can just press it ever so gently. It works just fine that way too, as I always say. So
a lot of questions internally on this when the no action letter came out was this could potentially open the door for others to like maybe like a MetaMask or some, I guess, more self-custodial wallets like that to be able to plug in. Obviously, I think the industry is kind of over-relying on like similar facts and circumstances to be able to do stuff. So, you know, obviously this really just applies to you guys for right now, but how do you think self-custody will play into this and business models like this versus maybe like more custodial interfaces and the rules that apply to them? Like how much of your technology stack was like a differentiating factor here?
Yeah. So I guess just to address the first part of what you said. So one of our goals with this was to do something that really helped further the ecosystem and really wanted to position this as something that was kind of helping to lead the way or a template that other people can follow. Obviously, it's not a full rulemaking or legislation, so it cannot necessarily be relied one-to-one from another party. But you know, I think we did a pretty good job in terms of trying to make it templatizable enough for other you know, the members of our industry. In terms of self-custody, I think basically, you know, there's always going to be a world where there's self-custody solutions. There's always going to be a world where there's custody solutions. Our goal is to make all of the experience and technology around self-custody match the ease and safety of use that custody can provide while maintaining sort of the core aspect of self-custody, which is literally, you know, you custody your own assets and your control of your own assets. And yeah, I do think that that because that's such a different concept, you've never really been able to connect to the internet with self-custody assets.
Yeah, by the way, this is something I go back and forth on because the way self-custody is set up, it's such a pain in the butt, if I'm being honest. It's like such a, it's such a challenge, and there's so many risks to having self-custody. You know, you lose that passphrase, it's gone forever. Now, there was this initiative called the DREC Alliance. You know, Algorand and Hedera started it. I actually broke the news that they were in discussion, by the way. Broke the news on this channel. AJ Writes Crypto then broke the news of that it was actually the DREC Alliance that they were working on, which is supposed to be set up to have a decentralized way to recover your assets if they're ever, you know, ever, if you ever lose your password, passphrase, that kind of thing. And it's funny, you don't hear very much about it. I think they've made some progress, but it's so quiet. They're so little actually being talked about there that I don't know what's going on with that. It does seem interesting to me though. So, but that solves some of this. But yeah, I'm kind of skeptical. Honestly, I leave a lot of my stuff on Coinbase because it's just easier.
Your physical wallet before, you know, it's just kind of breaking a lot of regulators' brains around what that actually means. And so I think we'll still be in this period where there's going to be a lot of education needed for regulators and consumers. But I'm pretty optimistic that, you know, self-custody tech is basically going to be as invisible and as seamless as normal custody tech in pretty short order.
We'll see.
Okay. Great. Thank you so much, Brandon, for coming on.
Yeah, thanks, Brandon.
And congrats again. Yeah.
Big boss. Yeah,
take it easy.
Oh, thanks.
All righty. So
that reminds me to check my Phantom wallet, which I haven't done in a long
your
time.
Keys.
Yeah, there
keys.
We go.
Yeah.
All righty. The SEC CFTC interpretive guidance included 16 crypto tokens as examples of digital commodities, including Bitcoin, Ether, XRP, Doge, Cardano, and Solana, offering long-awaited clarity to many projects that were previously sued by the SEC as unregistered securities. Kristen Smith is the president of the Solana Policy Institute. And she remembers that period very well.
So every Green Blue Algo says, would you self-custody at your bank? I'm concerned the speaking of self-custody will bring attention to it. And Elizabeth Warren will call us all terrorists. I mean, we all kind of like, listen, I've got stuff on Algorand wallet. So I kind of self-custody, right? But a lot of my assets, if I'm just going to trade them, if I'm not really like planning to use them in DeFi or anything, I just keep them on Coinbase. Which, by the way, like they still haven't added Canton, which is insane. Yeah, no, it's interesting because like back in the day, you know, like my grandpa, like he did self-custody a lot of his cash because he didn't trust banks. You know, people who went through the Depression or remember it, they self-custodied. You know, they might have been kids back then, but they just had this lifelong distrust of the banks. So a lot of them did basically self-custody their cash. And you know, there's risk there too. It all comes with risk. So pretending like there's a no risk solution is crazy. And maybe we'll just cap off with this because I think they were kind of like, I don't know, they're just kind of jibber jabbering now. Anyway, there's always a risk involved because, you know, if you're self custody, you might lose your passphrase. You might have technology issues. That happens too. But you know, Coinbase, like they could, maybe one day they just don't let you have access. I don't know. Having it spread out helps. You know, I have my stuff on another platform too. Like a lot of my net worth is tied into a different platform that's, you know, not crypto, but, you know, just stocks, trade, investing, that kind of thing. You know, it's FDIC insured, but what happens if it exceeds that level? I mean, there's always risks. There's no such thing as a risk-free. So it's a matter of evaluating the risk and what you find acceptable versus ease of use. Jackson Crawford says, I'm still waiting for Robinhood to list Algo. Yeah. Well, you know what that's based on? It's based on how many people actually how many people waitlist Algorand. I'm guessing there's just not a lot of people doing that. So the more people that waitlisted on Algorand, on Robinhood, that's how they make their decision. I can't remember where I saw that, but I saw that somewhere, but that's how they decide that. So, if you're waitlisting it, good. Get more people to do it, and they'll list it. Greenblue says, I'm convinced that Robinhood has a contract with Solana not to. Yeah, I doubt it. I don't think Solana cares. A lot of people like to say stuff like that. I'm just very skeptical. I think Solana is just big because they're big, and they paid a lot of influencers to shill them. Algorand kind of started doing that at the end, and then they kind of stopped, I think. They were doing that for a while. I know like CryptoWendio made a sponsored video. Who else? There was a couple other bigger ones that did that. And then they had a partnership with AJ. I don't know where that went. I had a contract with them too. I made 3 videos for them, but I made it for their channel. I think it looks like Seawell made a couple too. And they asked me like, do you want to renew your contract? And I said, yeah, sure. Why not? I mean, I was just making the videos. I enjoyed it. And then just like dead silence. And I reached out to Michael Jordan, because he's like kind of my inside guy at the foundation. It's like, what's up with this? Like, why aren't they getting back to me? It's like, oh, everybody's busy with the Algoland thing. I'm like, can you like chew gum? Can you walk and chew? Do you know how many things I do at once? Like, I have a whole another business outside of this. This is like a hobby for me. Like, I have a whole other business. And you guys are like, we can only do one thing at a time. Like, yeah. Yeah, I think they're a little over. I'm okay with the cuts. Is what I'm saying. Like, I think they need some people that are, I think it needs to operate more like a, I think the foundation needs to operate like a startup more than a, I don't know what it is. It's like a big company where people get lost in it, you know? Anyway, I'm ranting and raving enough. I think we're going to call it for today. So yeah, thanks so much for tuning in, everyone. I hope we had a good day. I thought there was some really huge Algorand news today to cover. So anyway, I'm FrugalBC, and I will see you